So good to hear what God's doing around the world and know that we are a small part of what He's doing. And there's always a bigger picture, a bigger story to be told of what God's doing around the world. And it's important for us to rehearse it here in our own minds. When we talked about Mission Sundays a number of weeks ago, we said there are a lot of ways that you could be involved. Remember that you can be praying, you can be giving, and some of you are going to go. And we want to release you to go as the Lord leads you in that way. Well, this morning we're going to take a little break from our time in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to talk about the giving of thanks. So if you have your Bible, let's open together to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms, and turn to Psalm 107. We've just passed through Thanksgiving, a holiday that has become most renowned for its food. And if you had a big table that you celebrated around, you might have said, "Wow, this is delicious." That was a comment that we heard. In fact, one of the things I heard was, "Is this really a vegetable?" Because it was some kind of squash that had so much brown sugar and butter and nuts in it that it really was more like a dessert than anything else. And we would say, well, that food was good. It was good to our taste. It tasted good. That is, from my perception, it was good. Or we might say of someone else, they are good at something. They have a skill. Well, they're good at that. Some time ago, I had a little work done at my house, and it was a project to refinish some floors, and part of that work was to take all the baseboards off, and I decided that I would sort of reduce the budget for this project by taking the baseboards off and putting them back on myself. And as I did that and took them all off, they were 16-year-old baseboards, and they needed to all be refinished and then put back on, and as I pulled some of them off, they fell apart, and the task became suddenly daunting. But the person who was in my house doing the majority of the job said to me, "Oh, you can do this. It's not that hard. You can put all these back on. It'll just take time." And the more I looked at it, I just kept saying, "No, I don't think I can do this." He said, "No, you can do it." And this isn't my entryway. I wanted it to look good. And I thought, "I'm not that good at this." And he said, "No, you can do it." I said, "Listen, I want you to do it. Or, why don't you come to church this Sunday?" He knew I was a pastor. He said, "Why don't you come to church this Sunday and give the message?" And he looked at me with big eyes. I said, "No, you could do it. You can do it. It'll take you a little bit of time to get ready. You know, you can do it. Possibly nobody will want to listen to you, but you could do it." He said, "I get the picture." So he did my baseboards. You can say someone's good at something. That's one way. But when we talk about God being good, we are talking about describing not only that He does what is good, but that He is good. That the intrinsic moral disposition of God, in which He shows kindness to His creatures and He seeks their benefit, God is good. So listen to the psalmist from Psalm 107. In fact, let's read it out loud together. Let's put that up there. Let's read it out loud together. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who have been redeemed by the loving kindness of God acknowledge that He is good, and that He is good in ways in and of Himself." We frequently will say, maybe in our interactions with each other, "The Lord was so good to me this week." And what we mean by that is that we had a greater awareness of God's goodness and His benefit to us. But He was good to us last week. We may not have been aware of it. You know what I mean? So he is always good. We may have greater awareness of his goodness at certain times more than other times, but it is our duty as those who have been redeemed by the Lord to say so. The Lord is good. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Let those who have been redeemed by the Lord say so. So how is it that we would say this morning that the Lord is good? What do we mean when we say he is good? And then what ought we do in response to his goodness that will be good for him and good for us? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. I'd like to suggest to you that even by this verse, when we read, his loving kindness is everlasting, we're speaking of, by his loving kindness, a word that describes his covenant commitment to love. His commitment especially to love his people in a covenantal, unconditional, benevolent kind of way, whereby he shows his love and his compassion to us. When we say that God is good, we mean to say that he is loving, gracious, and merciful to begin with. We could speak all morning about his love, because his love and his kindness never cease, do they? In fact, this is the second verse we should read together this morning to help frame our thoughts when we think about the Lord, and that's Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is good all the time, and his love and his kindness never cease. They always go on and on. He is loving, he is gracious, and he is merciful. This essentially is, in a nutshell, the gospel message that God is good, God is loving, God is gracious, and God is merciful. And I'd like to bring you to one passage in the New Testament whereby we could examine together that the Lord is good and that we would want to always be those who speak up to say, because we've been redeemed by him, that the Lord is good. He's good in love, he's good in grace, he's good in mercy, and all those things never cease. So, would you turn in your Bible to the New Testament, to Titus chapter 3. This is located on page 168 in the Bible that we provide for you. Titus chapter 3. And let's just examine a glimpse of his love and grace and mercy. Titus chapter 3. If you found Thessalonians, then Timothy, then Titus chapter 3. And here, a glimpse into the loving kindness of God. Verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, when it appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, and by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now here are three things that you can see in these verses. The kindness of God, the love of God for mankind in verse 4, his mercy that he showed in verse 5, and his grace that he showed in verse 6. We've described his love as his covenantal love for us, his unconditional, committed kind of love that never ceases. We've described grace as God giving to us what we don't deserve, and mercy as God withholding from us what we do deserve. We say this is the message of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. and have everlasting life, so that the redeemed of the Lord could say, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his Son. So, verse 7, we're justified by his grace, we're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then verse 8 comes full circle, that this is a trustworthy statement concerning these things I want to speak confidently, so that those of you who have believed in God will be careful to engage in what? Good deeds. Why? Because those good deeds are a reflection of the goodness of God that was manifest to you by his love, by his grace, by his mercy. God is good all the time. You may perceive it on some special days that you are aware of his blessing, but he's always good. And when the kindness of God was demonstrated, he sent his Son into the world and he said, here is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Even while we were enemies with God, he loved us. And the grace of God, for by grace you've been saved through faith, it's not of yourselves, it's God giving you this. And the mercy of God to withhold what should have rightly fallen to us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You see how these three hold together: his love, his grace, and his mercy. And they are, in the most nutshell kind of representation, a statement, truncated, of his goodness. So that we could say with the psalmist, the Lord is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Because he loves you. And he's been merciful to you. And he has shown his grace to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you have come to know Christ, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. By what? By being thankful people. By being thankful people who absolutely cannot help but say, the Lord be praised for what he has done for me. So, I would say to you, are you thankful? Are you thankful for what the Lord has done for you on this Thanksgiving weekend? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let me suggest a couple things to you this morning as we think about being a grateful people. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Three ideas. Number one, being thankful glorifies God as the source of every good gift. When you say thank you to God, you acknowledge that he is the source of every good gift. Someone has said that the atheist, when he ever feels a little inclination of gratitude, who does he thank? But we, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, ought to in every place, all the time, give thanks to God for every good gift. Here's a verse while we're close. Keep turning to the right if you're still in Titus, to the book of James. James chapter 1. We'll get to Hebrews, and then right past Hebrews, James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Who is the source of every gift you enjoy? Yeah, God. God. And the more you say it, the more your own mind and heart is taught to understand that God is the source of every gift. And when we are thankful, we glorify God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. There are verses in the Psalms that just keep saying to us, we ought to always give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 105 is another one that begins with 10 commandments. 10 commands. Lest you think they're the 10 commandments from Exodus, but 10 commands. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds. Sing to him. Speak of his wonders. Glory in his name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord with strength. Seek him continually. Remember his deeds. What's the psalmist saying? You train your heart to think of God in everything. And when you give thanks to him in everything, you magnify his name. His name is all glorious, but you have the opportunity, by being a grateful people, to shine the spotlight on his glorious being so that his goodness can be known. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because he's praised when we give thanks to him. Secondly, little takeaway for us this morning. Being a thankful people not only glorifies God, but being a thankful people turns the obligation of religion into the joy of relationship. Being a thankful people turns the obligation of religion into the joy of relationship. This week I had the sad duty of conducting a memorial service here for someone who had passed away in the last week. And when I met with the family, they described this young man of 33 as not being very religious. And it was my duty to officiate over the service. And in retrospect, I thought of something that I wish I had said. Because the family was somewhat apologetic that he wasn't religious. And I wish I had said, religion's overrated. And it is. Religion is way overrated. Religious duty is simply man's attempt to get to God. And you can't. Nor can I. Religious duty is empty. But relationship with the God of the universe is awesome. So religion is overrated, but Christianity is not man's attempt to get to God. It's God's attempt to get to you. And if you will understand that God is trying to get to you through his Son whom he sent to you, then you'll understand through the redemption that is in Christ a kind of gratitude that says the Lord has come down to meet me in my need. And so I can call upon him in my distress and I can find him and he will meet me where I am. Giving thanks to God turns obligation of religion into the joy of relationship. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you're not particularly religious and you're here, that's okay. God would like to meet you in a relationship with you through Christ. And then what would happen in your life is the joy of giving thanks to the Lord in all things. The Psalms, again, are filled with this admonition. And this famous verse, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, is all through the Psalms. Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 118, Psalm 136. Psalm 136 in particular, that phrase, his loving kindness is everlasting, is repeated over and over and over again throughout all of the 26 verses. His everlasting love. His everlasting love. And because he has this everlasting love, it doesn't matter if you have failed to live up to your own expectations. I can tell you that you've failed to live up to his. And no amount of religious behavior can fix that. But God, through his Son, is reaching to you today to say, come unto me. And the joy of relationship with Jesus is the wellspring of a grateful heart. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. One more idea for our becoming a grateful people. Being grateful gives glory to God. Being grateful cultivates relationship with the God who is the source of all these gifts. And thirdly, being a grateful person leads to a happy, God-centered life. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for a moment. Back to the right in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let me put something on the table that will be for your own self-interest on finding a happy life and a God-centered life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 is where we could perhaps begin. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here are some together, an invitation to happiness. An invitation for you to be supremely happy in your life. Happy in Christ. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Which can be distinguished, I think, than for everything give thanks. Because there are some things that are an abomination to the Lord. We don't give thanks for those. But in the midst of everything, including some suffering, including all things, you could give thanks to God, who in His sovereignty is with you, will not forsake you. His love will be everlasting in the midst of this very crisis, perhaps, that you find yourself. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. Come, you thankful people, come. Raise your song. Raise your joyous gratitude to God. Why? Because being a grateful people is one of the ways we live out the will of God in a happy, God-centered life. And it begins with knowing Christ the Savior. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice in everything. Pray without ceasing. I think the pray without ceasing is for when you're not exactly sure how to be thankful in this moment. What should I do? Lord, help me. Lord, help me be grateful even in this. You know, there's nothing more discouraging in a family than a grumbler, right? A grumbler will just ruin the moment. And a grumbler can't be grateful. It'll ruin a marriage. It'll ruin a courtship. It'll ruin all kinds of relationships. It ruins church life. It'll ruin a company. You know what it is to work in a company and have a bad apple on the team. You know what that's like. But oh, if God would give us the grace that we'd be thankful people and in everything give thanks. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Say thanks be to God, for He is good. You know the Lord is good. He's been good to you in Christ, and He will be good to you in your life as you walk with Him, as you trust in Him, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will direct your path, and the path He will have for you is a God-centered, happy, grateful life. Hey, to whatever extent you're outside of the lines on this, I just invite you to come back and say to God, forgive me for my grumbling. Forgive me for my bitterness. Forgive me for my inability to be grateful. Forgive me for the ways in which I have harbored something against someone that has infected me to the point where I cannot be thankful. Because the mark of a redeemed person is gratitude. Right. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. At the Erie campus, in the gathering, and here in this room, we say to the Lord, You are good. You're good. Your love endures forever. If you're outside of the love of God today, I invite you, I urge you, I plead with you, come back. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for everyone who can hear my voice today who is outside of this experience in their heart and soul of living in the love and the kindness of God. And I pray that by the Spirit of God, you will bring a conviction and a repentance to that heart whereby we would turn away from our sin and yield to a merciful, gracious Savior Jesus, and that we would experience a newness of life, a forgiveness of our sins, and a vision for our life in the future that would say our life is for God and the Lord is good and good to me. And Lord, I pray that you will cultivate in all of us an unstoppable gratitude whereby we would effusively say to you, thank you for the ways in which you have worked in our life. You have delivered us from our sin and delivered us from our weaknesses and delivered us from many things. And you, O Lord, in your loving kindness are good. Lord, we reflect upon this, your intrinsic character, in which we say, you are good, and only you are good. And may the goodness that you are be given to us, that we would participate in being lights for you, that we would in turn do good as a reflection of your goodness in our life. Thank you for your mercy, our Father, and thank you for your grace. And thank you that your loving kindness never cease, and your compassions never fail. Please pour them out to us today. We give thanks to you for your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, we all say amen. Amen.